Welcome to This Just In, the show bringing you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. And now, for the fastest voice in healthcare, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to This Just In. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these segments, I'll bring you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Just In studios on the Business Radio X network, as well as the Healthcare Now radio network. For this episode, my 242nd episode, we have a great, insightful show with a first-time guest, however, a very long-time friend, Mike Mosquito. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Justin. Glad to be here. Glad to talk to you on this wonderful Thursday.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you on air. You've been a longtime friend, colleague here in the Atlanta area, and all around great guy to collaborate with. A lot of fun. We kind of synced back up again at HIMSS a couple of months ago, and HIMSS 22 in Orlando, and had a phenomenal conference. So, before we dive into the show, what did you think of HIMSS this year, the conference?
I think it was great being able to get back in Orlando and get everyone together after that hiatus. August was a little, slow, but yeah. I think getting back to Orlando with everyone was very nice to see. I think the content was great. Yeah. So I really appreciated being able to do that again like we used to.
Yep. And then you and I had a very fun dinner. What restaurant did we go to again? What was the name? Which one? You remember?
I can't remember. There was a steakhouse.
Yeah, it was a great steak. Yeah, we had a great steak and a fun night. Met a lot of great people. So, and thank you for that, for making that happen as well. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So my audience has not heard your voice before. So why don't we do a little bit of a background for them? Where'd you grow up? College, all that good stuff.
And I grew up in Mobile, Alabama, Grand Bay to be specific, down on the coast.
Yeah.
So where it's hot almost year round. this time of year is probably the pool's already warm and ready to get into that pool.
Oh yeah.
Grew up down south here. Then I jettisoned out west, Midwest, to go to the Air Force Academy, where I came back again to get another degree from Auburn University in mechanical engineering.
Excellent.
I finished my MBA here in Georgia at Kennesaw State University. Awesome. So I've had a very, very nice career in seeing schools around the country and seeing different parts of the country for school. But my master's in business information systems management and IT.
Yeah. I didn't realize that you also served. I was in the Army for 6 years active, 2 years inactive, and you were in the Air Force Academy. I didn't realize that. That's cool. Wow. Congrats.
So, yes. Thank you. Thank you.
So tell me about, I've known you, I guess I've probably known you for 15, 17 years or so. Very passionate, but where does your passion for healthcare come from?
I think when I had a chance to go to McKesson as a thought leader for when they were developing their physicians portal, mm-hmm. That's where it started. I was introduced to developing portals for .com, and then McKesson asked me to come and help them with their physicians portal. Yeah. And with that, I learned a lot about technology in healthcare. Learned a lot about doctors, nurses, the healthcare system, how it works. I spent a lot of time in a lot of the hospitals around the country, mm-hmm. to see what operations were good and bad. And with that, I found a joy in solving some of those problems, being able to help CIOs, CTOs, CEOs, and boards develop strategies. And it just grew from there. I never had an interest in going into pure IT, like a pure IT company. I just like being able to say when I leave this world, yep. I've done something, and hopefully it's influenced or helped someone else stay alive or have better health.
Amen. It has, and it does. What years were you at McKesson, and were you working on that portal? What was the portal name too?
It's called Physicians Portal.
Okay.
I was there from 2001 to 2005.
Okay. Where did the Relay Health product come into play there?
Relay Health never really came into play. Okay. I mean, it was a separate adjunct to the business.
Okay.
So that bringing Relay Health onto when that acquisition was made, it was really about having more tentacles into the healthcare space, as they've done in the past. They make those acquisitions Yep. Just like they made the acquisition of PAX, the PAX system out of Vancouver. Relay was one of those acquisitions to add more tentacles to the IT landscape. That was McKesson.
Yeah, I actually left McKesson in 99 to help start Relay Health and was sold back to McKesson in 04. But I just missed you by a couple of years. Tell my audience about RSM, your role there. You're newer there, correct?
I am. Yeah. I am coming up on a year. My prior company was acquired 334 days ago. Thank you very much. And so we were an IT implementer for ServiceNow for their APM and SPM product. And those products, our claim to fame is we're excellent at what we do in implementing those for all industries, but it's specifically healthcare. We are thriving in those areas to help solve some problems around software technology. And so I lead the sales team, and I'm on the healthcare leadership team for growth and strategy for the firm. So the firm is really heavy into industry play. Healthcare is a leading industry play, and I'm charged with growing that industry. So I have a strategic growth platform that I lead to help grow the firm's interest in healthcare as an industry.
Excellent. Yeah, you guys did a great webinar. Or hosted one about, 6 months ago or so? I forget. But that was, you invited me in. Great time.
Oh, yes. Yes. That was our first virtual webinar for the firm. And it was well attended. I think the content was relevant. It was current. Yeah. And since we are a consulting firm, it really was about providing that thought leadership, Justin.
Yep.
As you see, where folks can actually sit and listen and say, it's just not from a magazine that may be dated.
Yes.
These are current thinkers and implementers of technology.
Yep. And you had on the CIO of Grady, correct, as well with me? And then those
Glenn was on with us.
Yeah.
And so Glenn Hilburn is a wonderful friend of ours. He's a friend of the family for Hims here in Georgia.
Yep.
And so I was just with Glenn yesterday. Or day before yesterday at the regional HIMSS event.
Yep. Yeah, I'm sorry I missed that, but awesome. And Glenn was great. And that was a phenomenal panel. So thank you for that opportunity. So we were talking, this kind of started off at HIMSS a couple months ago, and talking about, the next generation of thought leadership and grooming and how that's coming together. So, tell us, tell my audience your thoughts around the kind of the health tech thinkers and what type of healthcare leadership and technical think is needed right now in our industry.
I think we need those thinkers that are able to see outside the current realm of, we've been doing that, this is the way we do it, this is the way we've always done it.
Right.
Because, Justin, as you've been in this world a long time, while technology and healthcare evolves slow over in this space, it has to now speed up for innovation to solve those problems that are now telehealth, remote, they are outside of the realm of walking into a box and getting care. You're now giving care in a place that doctors don't exist. So you have to have those types of thinkers that can see that far in advance you need to be where healthcare is needed.
Right.
And those thinkers are going to help put people in those places. Doesn't matter where they are in the globe. You now can have surgery from a doctor. I'm from the Da Vinci machine.
Right.
He is on the other side of the globe and providing surgical needs through a machine, through a computer, that now he can operate on a patient and still provide that care. And so those thinkers need to come from, whether it's the IT side of the world or from an innovation think tank that can sit in a room with like-minded individuals and provide thought leadership and influence the industry at the C-suite and the board level.
Yeah, I cannot agree more. And you bring up a point. I created a think tank, health innovation think tank, back in 2017. And we had 6 sessions before COVID hit, and obviously put it on pause, because for the most part, we were doing it all together. The last one in 2019 I did is November 2019. I think we had 40 people in the room and then another 40 people virtually from all over the world. And it worked out really well. because it was very well attended. We got to collaborate, to your point of thinking together, moving the industry forward together, you know, sharing ideas, best practices, actionable intelligence. And then I kind of put it on the back burner because of COVID, and I had a very fast growing company at the time and still do. But I need to crank that back up again. I because that was such a great opportunity for that collaboration, and we just learned so much from it. So, and I, you know, I'd love to have you participate as well, just from your background. So you bring up some really good points there, Mike.
Thank you very much there, Justin. I appreciate that, and would definitely be honored to be able to sit around a room and actually think of what the next generation of influencers in healthcare would look like and where they need to come from and whether they need to be developing. I think that really, that's needed. And they do it in other industries. And so for you, I think that's great that you're putting those minds together in one room. And that's where CIOs, again, by the time a CIO reads about technology in a book, it's already landed.
That's so true.
Some author has, they've read about it, they're massaging it. Yeah. And so, you know, thought leadership up front is needed in today's healthcare. And that CIO suite, that group of thinkers that get together, they need fresh new ideas to bounce off of. Will this work? Can this work? But those technology companies need to have healthcare think tanks themselves and be invited to the table to participate.
Yeah. And on that, in that direction, on the vein, we, I was reading an article the other day, and the premise was, we wish, if you know the adage, I'm actually speaking on this tomorrow morning, you know, 9 out of 10 companies fail, 9 out of 10 startups fail. And there's a lot of reasons why. And then I was reading a story, I think like 2 weeks ago, and it was talking about how it would be great if all these founders got together and just really worked on creating solutions, like holistic solutions. When you're speaking, it made me think of this. My success has really come from, I don't create a product, I create a solution, a full platform for somebody. Because if you're just worried about a little widget, you're not going to solve the true problems, because a widget can't fix healthcare. And you kind of hit this on your talk a moment ago. You got to really come in with their solution. You got to solve their problems at a big scale. You can't go to a CIO and go, oh, I can fix this little piece for you. They're like, well, that's great, but I've got 19 other products behind you, and I got to integrate all 20. So I care about the full platform, not your little widget. You solve this little problem. And so many people solve this little problem when if they could all get in a room and go, hey, you know what? We're all going to, you know, evolve care delivery or care strategy this way, and everything's integrated into on a one single platform, single block of code, integrates into your other pieces, but you can't create this Frankenstein, which so many people think, oh, I got this great idea. So, I mean, I know you subscribe to that same concept, correct?
I sure do. I subscribe to the platform mentality. You can plug more into a platform.
You got it. So, you know, you talked about, you know, out of the box technology that'll change the landscape of healthcare post COVID. So what are some examples? You know, I know you've spoken on this, and this is one of your key points. So, you know, talk about that a little bit.
Well, out of the box technologies that affect, again, we just talked about the widget, that are our platform. I think those technologies that help the C-suite board, the CIO, CTO understand where their investments are today, being what applications do I have? Do I need to have them? What are they doing for me? And then if I've acquired another facility, because acquisitions are always going on, they're happening here in Georgia, as you know, Justin, we have a large acquisition going on with one of our big entities. And those types of acquisitions bring in more technical debt. So you need technologies and platforms that are out of the box that look at people, systems, processes, and technology, how they intersect, and then pull the technical debt out of an organization. So as healthcare moves outside of the four walls of the hospital, how do you assess what's there? And so application portfolio management, things like that help you understand, what do I own? What am I paying for? With IT still getting 3% of the overall budget, what do I own and should I be investing in? That leads to strategy instead of just buying something to solve a problem, an individual problem.
That's perfect, because we didn't even have that choreographed. I didn't realize you're going, that's great. Our thoughts are so integrated. That's why we're such good friends. That's awesome. Yeah, I think we certainly subscribe to the same strategy there. in that direction, and you know, kind of everybody's saying we're post-COVID. We got actually an uptick in COVID. So we're actually, you know, we are quote unquote post-COVID. I think we're learning to deal with COVID, you know, much better than we ever have. But, you know, a lot of, I was in a conference last week, and again, post-COVID type of strategies and discussions. But again, we have an uptick right now, a surge in COVID coming, and if you don't know it. But let's talk about workplace management. This has actually been a topic on several of my radio shows in the past 3 to 6 months. You know, managing and navigating the great resignation changed how we work, where we work. What are some of your thoughts there and best practices?
I had a conversation at the August Hymns with CIO here in town, and he shocked me because I said, how are things going? Mm-hmm. And he says, yes, it was going great. He goes, we became a profit center for a second for the facility. I said, how so? He goes, we sent all of IT home and gave our space back to the hospital. I'm like, what do you mean? he said, we sent IT home.
Yeah.
They didn't need to be there. If IT is aligned correctly, yep, they can see everything they need to see from the comforts of their home.
So true.
Except for installing, you know, servers, which a lot of things go into the cloud now.
Yes. Yeah.
Or clinical systems, yep, that are managed by, you know, those are managed by, you know, any of your vendors.
Yeah.
So it really is about understanding where people work, how they work, how have they worked during this past 2 years? Did it work? And then what didn't work? How do you make that the new baseline, and not take something away that was working, and making sure you can retain those employees that have enjoyed the comforts of being in a home office, because this great resignation is real. Yes. For people that just want to change. They may not, but just, I think some people aren't even unhappy with their jobs. They just want to do something different.
Correct.
Yep. Right? I did this job in my pajamas at home for 2 years. Man, I think it's time for a change. This is the same thing day in and day out. And so when hearing him say, we sent IT home and gave back our space so that it could generate revenue for the hospital, that was huge. Yeah. You did a swap.
Yep.
You know, a revenue opportunity.
Yeah. And my my previous guest, the last show, Dr. Doug Farrago, talked about how, you know, very simply, you got to keep, first of all, he worries about physicians, and he's about physician leadership and the great resignation among physicians across this country. And he, you know, a very simple best practice that he offers to, you know, his customers and his facilities that he works with and strategizes with is ask a single question, make it confidential, answers confidential, blinded, but ask your employees, certainly your physicians, would you recommend our organization as a place to work to your friends and peers? And if, you know, and then just, and again, it has to be blinded, it has to truly be confidential. There can't be any recourse for somebody's answer. But if you get back only 60% of your physicians or providers say, yes, I'd recommend this place to work to my friends and peers and industry colleagues, then you got a problem. But if you're up to 80, 90% or higher, that's terrific. So it's one simple question that every CEO can ask, but again, they don't. They also, sometimes I believe they're afraid of the answer. But all of us can do that. That's not just for physicians. All of us should be asking and staying very much in tune with our organization and not taking our employees for granted. There's a lot of human capital there. There's, you know, people make up companies, not products, not processes, not procedures. It's people. So we've got to make sure that we stay, you know, and I know you subscribe to this as well, but, you know, we got to stay on top of our talent and in front of it and ensure they're taken care of.
Absolutely. We got to stay on top of the talent and ensuring that they are happy day in and day out. That was hard during, you know, the past 2 years.
Yeah.
But even looking at, you know, where we invest in this talent for the future, how are you investing for our firm? I am part of the recruiting team for consulting. Mm-hmm. And so I've gone over to one of the universities not too far from here where I'm already paying money for a young lady to get her degree.
Yep. Yep.
And I work with the MSIS department chair, and now we are supporting the MSIS department for technology.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Undergraduate and graduate students, right?
Yeah.
I want to groom folks, and it doesn't matter if they're coming to our firm or if they're going into technology, yeah, and healthcare.
We need them.
I want to groom.
Yeah, we need them. So, and for those that may join us late today, my special guest today is longtime friend Mike Mosquito. So I've got a couple minutes, Mike, probably about 5 minutes here. I'd love to do not rapid fire, but I would like to pull out the crystal ball. It's always my favorite session show. I never get a chance to, I really get to this. So we've covered some cool topics, but anything different. So what major themes or trends do you see? We're still early in 2022. So, you know, what do you see as major themes or trends in healthcare or digital health this year?
For what I'm touching today, I think cyber is huge. Mm-hmm. Application portfolio management's huge. Yeah. Machine and automation, machine language and automation, they're coming online in healthcare. I just finished a session 2 days ago at the regional HIMSS show around blockchain and its effect and where will it have a place in healthcare. It's already being tested. We've seen Change Health come out with its transaction system. And so it's one of those where I think that the new technologies that were buzzwords at the beginning of COVID,
right,
especially, you know, blockchain and the things like that, were like, oh, what is blockchain? What is a blockchain? How will that apply to healthcare? Can that apply in healthcare? They will touch at some point. So I think that is one of those things that's going to come about. How do we protect better? And when you say blockchain, you're still talking about security. Right. So security is paramount. One of the physicians on the panel that I had on my panel, he talked about a breach that cost them $4 million.
Wow.
Right? And that's, it's not a large facility. It was a practice. And that breach cost $4 million. That, I don't think, will slow down.
Hackers,
right. Like, yeah. Right? You don't think that's going to slow down? No. Because it's easy money. And so I think cyber is top of mind. Our firm focuses on that as a major topic of consulting and educating and becoming thought leaders around, here's where you need to look, protect, and be aware. And if you stay ahead of that as your strategic theme and you don't make it, you know, once a year we address it because right. They're thinking about it every time they get up. The hackers wake up thinking about how to get in.
Correct. Excellent. So what are a few best practices or strategies that you can share to help us navigate a few of those trends? I mean, you obviously mentioned a lot, but anything from your wisdom and experience, expertise to share, like actionable intelligence, I'd love to share if we can. So
I would say for those that are interested, you should find a platform that provides application portfolio management so that you can assess best practices for your institution. Excellent. Not just for the industry, right?
Yep.
Not all best practices should apply to you.
Very true.
May apply to you, right?
Yep.
They need to be tailor fit to what your strategic initiatives look like for the organization. Yep. Working with your board and ensuring that they understand your themes, whether they're IT or people related. So I subscribe to that platform theory of, can a platform provide, whether it's HR, IT, can it provide, you know, service desk management so that people can be managed remotely anywhere, anytime for what they need? And then from there, does that platform sustain growth and strategy from the back office to the patient themselves? Mm. Where are they touched? And how can you touch them to understand the organization and their capabilities even better?
That's awesome. Excellent. Great insights. In the last couple minutes, I'd love to touch on this. And this usually turns into its own show as we do a compilation of all my guests from this last piece. Where do you go to get or be inspired?
I go to my little girl.
That's cool. Yeah.
Because I watched this kid. She is one of my areas that I will sit and watch online. And this, if I ask her to find something, she can probably find it faster than most of my friends my age.
Yeah,
I watch her sit on any number of her games where they have to think through these games. And I'm watching her process. And I'm thinking, we need to go back to that basic thinking that these kids today are thinking much faster.
Yes.
They're using technology faster.
Yep.
And I watch her thrive in that world where we're trying to, you know, we're not putting out engineers as fast as we used to.
Yep.
And so I watch the youth of this world that are in these virtual worlds, they're thriving. She wants more. She needs more faster. So that's why I like mentoring young minds and watching where they grow. I go back to universities now and get thought leadership. I just finished a poster contest for the graduate school over at Auburn, where it was all around analytics and the analytics behind solving problems.
Mm.
And these young minds, as I'm sitting there watching, these kids, when I received my degree, it was nothing that advanced.
Right.
These kids are years ahead, right?
Yes.
So engaging young minds is where I see now these kids are thinkers. The ones that are going to be on the map, they are pure thinkers. They're hungry,
yep.
And we need to feed that hunger.
Yeah, you bring up a great point, Mike. And I actually have to give a TED Talk tomorrow morning. And one of my components, I have to talk about inspiration and imagination at 8 a.m. It's going to be crazy for an 8 a.m. talk. But I do talk about how our opportunity, because we are building companies faster, we're scaling faster than ever before. So to your point, people think faster, they scale faster, our technology works better, and we can build a company faster than ever before. So, I mean, I started Really Health back in 1998, 1999, and it is a long slog. Now you can get, you can crank up companies in a matter of weeks with employees and tons of stuff. It's just the overhead's totally different, scale's completely different, much faster, leaner, meaner, and the people are too. So it's it's very cool. Well, we are at time, Mike. What a phenomenal show. You're a great guest. It's great to have you on air. And I truly appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to join us. And thank you to everybody for joining us. Please tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. As always, you can track me on Twitter at HET Advisor and use the hashtag ThisJustinRadio so I can respond to your comments from the show. If you missed any of this episode or want to hear more, all my shows are posted on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. You also can check out some of the updates we put on JustinBarnes.com. Thanks, everyone. Stay safe. And thanks again, Mike, my friend. Take care.